The GAA program with Tom Comack, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
GAA Rogers Falcho, good GAA Clark, and Luke Lasskill, the shock on the show with me, Tom Comack, as always with you here on Wednesday night until 9 o'clock. And as we always say at this time, hope you can stay with us because we've got some very interesting people, as always, for you to meet. And well, in the wake of Gwydor's Ulster final win over Scotstown last weekend and a first ever Ulster title for the Gwydor club, I'm delighted to see him joined on the programme tonight by the man that masterminded that great triumph, their manager Mervyn O'Donnell. Mervyn will be joining us later, but first of all I'm joined by two former stalwarts and stars of a bygone era of the club, Oney McBride and Donal Breslin, both championship winners with the famous green and white jersey. We'll be going to those in a moment, but just to remind you, as always, on a Wednesday night you can text us here on the programme on 086 60 25000, and if you want to text us from outside the dialing area, it's 00353 86 60 25000. And just to remind you once again, if you miss part of the programme or you want to listen back to it, you can listen back to a podcast from tomorrow morning on the Highland Radio app and also on www.highlandradio.com. and of course quite a lot of people listening to us right around the globe on the World Wide Web tonight as we come to them from various times of the day. So good morning, good afternoon and good night to you all listening to us. But Sunday was a big day for Gwydor Club. They finally reached the heights, I suppose, that a club of its tradition certainly longed for over a long period of time. But certainly it's come as a big surprise to many people, having only won their first Ulster title in what 12 years in October. Now Ulster champions, and looking forward to an All-Ireland semi-final meeting with Cora Finn in February. That's on Valentine's weekend. I'm sure there's romance in the air down in Gwydor in the last few days. And as I said, I'm joined by Oney McBride and by Donal Breslin. And Donal, we'll start with you. How are the celebrations going?
Oh, well, Tom, we haven't been at home for the last 3 or 4 days, but sure, it's worth it. And I think we deserved our day to enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, famous victory, a great victory, and I suppose, well, one. I know obviously it's come as a fairy tale journey for everybody, but given the conditions, given the climate, given everything, it was one that probably you at least expected in those conditions.
Well, Tom, when I got up on Sunday morning, I didn't like what was ahead of us. The weather was bad, and like our younger fellas now, that's not the kind of fields they like to play football on. But you have to take what's in front of you, and I must say they adapted themselves very well to the conditions that they had to play in. Now, it wasn't a field that you could have a lot of open football on like the last day, but they adapted themselves, and at the end of the day, I think we deserve to win it.
Yeah, I suppose it's a measure of how good they are, really.
Well, it is, but if you have to look back to earlier this year, that under-21 team that we had, that was the foundation of that team. And, like, those young fellas could run for a week and it wouldn't bother them. And then when you tie them in then to the likes of the McGees and the Casties and the McNeilises, you could see they had a strong backbone there, and the younger fellas, as I said, could run all week for you.
Yeah, it was a mix that really complemented itself all season, and no more so than in Ulster when the going got tough in those games with Carrigan and with Cross Midland and last Sunday with Scotstown.
Yeah, well, the game against Scotstown, I knew, like, you only have to ask county players, when you're playing teams against Monaghan, you know what you're going to expect and you know what you're going to get. And I think some of our fellas now got a little bit more than at times than was fair to them, and nobody more so than Darrell Beale, who took a lot of heavy knocks during the hour.
Yeah. And tell me, has it really sunk in yet with Gwydor people? Has the journey been greater maybe than the prize at this stage?
Well, like I used to say, last April now, we wouldn't be expecting now to be where we are today. That, in fairness to ourselves, no. Our championship was our only thing that we wanted to get out of.
And like that was the Donegal Championship.
Yeah, the Donegal Championship. After then, people started to realise, well, sure, we're as good as the next team. And over the next 2 or 3 weeks, we proved it that in the space of 3 months, we have won 3 cups. and I think we deserved every one of them at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah, because people seem to forget now that you won an Ulster Under 21 club back in, what was it, February?
That's right, yes. And then, as I said, we had to play the whole summer long without our county players. At times we were 6, 7, 8 footballers short, and still, at the end of the day, if you think of it now, the three subs that came on for us were three reserve players practically all year round, and each of them scored a point, which made a big difference at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. How many champions did you win? I know you told us last week when we were down in Chalk Vicky, but just to remind us again.
I just have the one, Tom, but as I said to you last day, so one's better than none.
Yeah, but played in a good few finals.
We have played 2 or 3 finals, Tom, and unfortunately we lost them to good teams. We lost them to the McCools, and like they were a good team at the time.
Yeah. I'm also joined tonight by a playing colleague of Donald, both at club and with county, of course, a favourite for many years, and a former referee here in Donegal as well, Oney McBride. Oney, good night to you.
Night to you, Donald.
And tell me, Oney, how many championships have you?
As Don says, one lucky one. That one, it's good to have one, but they're none, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what did you make of Sunday?
Ah, listen, it's been a massive, massive, massive week for the parish of Gidoe and the club here in general. Like, you know, and as listen, Don still did all there. Like, and listen, it didn't happen overnight when you think back on them young lads that played there on Sunday. The conditions were bad, but listen, the seats were sown there back about 10, 12 years ago when the legs of the board and all started off. And the likes of Brendan O'Brien and Pierce Coyle and Dunham and Ellis and them lads were down there Saturday mornings in the cold winter mornings. They wouldn't put out that dog, put it that way. You know, and them under-12s, under-14s, under-16s. That's where probably the seed was sown down there. And that came to fruition this last Sunday. You know, it was great, a massive week for the parish. You know.
And of course, but it certainly is a talented squad. But you know, to have so many players coming at the same time is quite unique, actually, in a rural area.
Right. Yeah. But listen, I know that. But listen, the panel is there, like, the best panel on it. All my playing days, you know, the best panel of players I saw in the parish. You know, and it's been a massive, massive, massive bunch of lads there, like, and the led by the McGees and the. You named them a few more there, and Cass is better known, and yes, Cass and Cassie, you know, like, look at them, like, at 37 years of age, you know, he put them in a tremendous work during the course of the winter. Like, the McGee's up there in Dover, like, they were a massive bunch of lads there that pushed them young lads on. But then again, it's the young lads with the young legs that probably at the end of the day, and you take the legs of Oran McNeilis and Oran McFadden Terry, and that bunch of lads, you know, they're a massive bunch of lads.
Right up there with the greats in Gwydor, the great teams?
Oh, yeah.
Are they the greatest team?
I was, honestly, they're the best bunch of players in the lives of that in my playing days, honestly. God. Like, they were good Gwydor players that probably never won anything. Like, and, but what you do with that, they luck the draw, and come last Sunday, they go out against Scotland, and they had to fight hard for it, and did fight hard, and listen, could have won quite either way. But at the end of the day, like, we came out on top, and that's what happens. And probably must thank the management, you know, the backroom staff.
Yeah, Marvin O'Donnell has done a fantastic job.
Yeah.
He's joining us in a short while, but he's done a fantastic job.
Like, you must thank a lot of people. Like, Michael Boyle came on the scene there early in the year. Like, he's done a massive job. I've been down there in Margaret a few nights watching him. Like, and no messing with him. Like, what he said, like, and he'd done his work, you know. But going back to them young boys again, like, going back to them one to month, you know, a lot of people that you can think of, like, you must think of the fathers and the mothers that took them young lads down there on a cold Saturday mornings, you know, around the number of years, you know. That's where the seeds were sown, and they put us under. That's it.
Yeah. Mm. And tell me, you know, you remember great teams, don't you? Even before your own playing days, because that was a golden era too, wasn't it?
Ah, yeah. Like, listen, we went a good many years, like from 55 to 61. Like, going back to the '50s and the Gidoe, like, and teams were great. But then there were other great teams in the county as well. You take Dunloe. Once you came out of the parish or the Western Division at that time, was known as the Western Division, Gidoe and Dunloe. Like, whoever came out of that division, they could be corners or county champions. Gidoe were the top team probably that, and Dunloe probably were unlucky not to be in finals. They were in the finals in 57, 50 years, and they won them, no. But that's the luck of the draw. Like, and then St. George's, Ballyshannon come on the scene there, and, like, you know, they were an amalgamation team, and again, I'm not saying that Gwydor and McCool's, but in them years of McCool or Joseph's Ballyshannon combination, Like, we probably could have won another few championships, but they were the dominant team at that time, and they're great players, and McShay, Paulie McShay, Brian McNiff, and Thomas Quinn, and you name them, Mikey McLuhan, and Shamie Granahan. They were a great bunch of lads.
Anyway, back to the present team. Tell me, did you enjoy the homecoming on Sunday night?
Of course I did. Why not? Why wouldn't we? Doesn't come that often again. Whatever happens and comes and take.
Did you ever think you'd see the day, Oney?
Sorry? I thought I'd never see the day, Tom. Honestly, God. Like, they won three massive major trophies in 3 months, from the league in October or September, the championship then, and this big one in also last Sunday. And then you remember the under-21s, they would go back about less than a year ago. That was a massive, massive boost for the parish and for the lads, Like, and they'll remember that for their dying days,
And they're not finished yet?
Well, I hope not. I wouldn't say so. They'll take every game as it comes, Like, the manager, I said they'll do their homework in Cardiff now when come month of February, but that's another day. So, listen, take every game that comes. It's great, granted, if you could come across Cardiff and make the step to Croke Park in a party day. That'd be a massive, massive day for the parish.
Yeah, but it'd be only fitting and right in a way, because Gweedore, are the most honoured club, 15 championships, and I know you went through a very barren spell in the 60s and the 70s, but they are seen as kind of the aristocracy, aren't they?
Oh, they are definitely. Going back a few years, up the last 2 years, people are saying, what's wrong with Gweedore? Probably the management of Tom Gillespie, he done a massive work there as well. They probably took the time, and then Mervyn came around the scene this year, and they kind of this backroom team, with Michael Boyle. That was a great achievement to that type of work.
And of course, Martin Call is there as well, John Bosco.
You can name it. There were 10 or 12 there in the backroom team. Like, hard to name them all. They all doing their best, It's great for them.
And you've been talking to some old people, what's the feeling among old people?
I met some of the people during the course of the week. Good God, they can't believe it. I think they still have sore heads. They didn't know what really happened on Sunday. Fair enough. Good work up to Old Man's Land to one, but my God, they could have won either way. They dug deep in and just got the result in the day.
Sunday was a game kind of, it was off difficult conditions. It was one kind of dirty and nasty in a way in the conditions. I'm not talking about the football, but in the conditions, it was, they had to take it out. But they had played some champagne football up to that, hadn't they?
Gweedore never panics on Sunday. They took it just, they were 3 points down at one time in the second half. They came back, they kept their cool. Many other teams would just collapse, but not our lads. A bunch of lads there, led by Kevin Cassidy and Emma McGee and Neil McGee and name a few other guys there. And they were the stalwarts there in the sense, But they're plugging away and just look at the draw in the sense.
Were you worried when the Scotsman went 3 up in the second?
Indeed, I was a bit worried, but as I said, they kept their cool. There's a few turnovers then, and that's the look of the draw.
And obviously, the win against Cross Midland, the win against, I think, St. Junan's the first day in O'Donnell Park was a big one. But I think, obviously, I'm sure from a lot of Gweedore people have spoken to, the win over Cross Midland, I think, really was the icing on the cake. No disrespect to Scotstown or anybody else.
Well, that was a major factor to go to get Cross Midland. Playing Cross with the name Cross Midland, you didn't know really what you were playing against. But Cross are Cross, and Gweedore, and that was it. On the day, Gweedore, the more open play, and the different type of football they played against Cross than last one, because Scotstown done their homework on Gweedore. If it was a dry day last one, I think Gweedore would have won it easy enough. They're not any day, won by a point, any conditions, take it.
Donal Breslin, back to you. What was the, other than obviously winning last Sunday and the final, what are your memorable moments from 2018 with that team?
Well, what I like about them, all year round, they were an attacking team. People would be mowing football in Donegal, but over and back and forward, and back to the goalkeeper. I don't think any of our players ever practically put the ball back all year round. It was attacking football. You only had to see them there in the games during the year. It was attack, attack, attack. And look, we did get a lot of goals in a lot of our matches. It dried up last Sunday, but that put that down to the conditions. But they'll have to look forward now to Corrifin, and I would have no fear of going to play in Corrifin, because they will have heard about us, as I already talked to people down in Galway, and like, they'll be giving you ideas about Corofin. People that may not like Corofin, but they're their own use of Corofin. So I'd be not afraid if they gave us in Cavan, the grounds there will suit us down to the ground.
Is that what it's fixed for? Or?
Well, the rumour has it that it's going to be up in Cavan. I thought it might be in Enniskillen, but it seemingly Cavan seems to be. That's unless they want to bring us to Crow Park. It'll be no harm to us at all. We'll go there if they ask us.
Though my information was, I was speaking to somebody during the week, that Cavan wouldn't be ready, that they're doing work on it.
Oh, possibly, Tom, possibly, yeah.
Yeah, I thought Sligo might be a more convenient...
Well, the grounds there aren't ready either.
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem with Sligo. But sure, listen, sure, we might play them in Marigallon if they're... if they want to come up.
Donal and Oni, I hope you can stay with us. We're going to be joined by Mervyn and Donal, but shortly. But first, we go for a short commercial break.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Fodger Rash, 8:49 on a Wednesday night. It's the GAA programme here on Highland Radio with me, Tom Comack. And, well, among royalty tonight, of course, Oni McBride and Donal Breslin from Gweedore. Of course, the new kings of Ulster club football, Gweedore, the Seamus McFerrin Cup, certainly resting in Marigallon this week and doing the rounds. And I'm delighted to see I'm now joined on the line by the man that masterminded what has been really a fairy tale story for Gweedore Door this year, Mervyn O'Donnell. Good night to you, Mervyn.
How are you, Tom?
You still have got the voice anyway, though.
Just about. I was going to look for a couple of limb subs or something there to try and bring my voice box around, but still just about there.
How have the celebrations been going, or are still going, I believe?
There's a few stragglers left at this stage. Not many now. I just seen a couple of pictures up on Twitter there. These phones are the worst thing that ever came out. But
yeah, you'll have to ban them like Jim McGuinness, I think.
I think we're going to have to do something. I was just saying to Emma McGee earlier on there that there was none of this 20 years ago, not even 20 years ago when we were playing football. There was no such thing. But sure, we were probably no better then either, ourselves. Like.
Anyway, 3 or 4 days on, how does it sound to be Ulster champions? Has it really sunk in?
You know what, it really, it probably has at this stage, or just about now, 3 days on, and when the dust settles and you sit back and you think about it, like, you know, and it's brilliant, not just Ulster, obviously, but the whole thing of the league championship and the Ulster title, it's just, you know, you'd never have dreamt of it, like, you know, not even this year alone, but even starting from where we were last year. The fact that we, you know, I remember down nights in February last year, and there were 6 and 7 of us down training, and, you know, nights together, and that's all we would have, and there was only 2 or 3 in the back room. But the way it snowballed so quickly to get, you know, to get everybody back playing, and I was just talking to somebody on Sunday, just a couple of the lads that, you know, Big Dan McBride and Ginger were playing reserve championship last year, you know, in the first round of the championship in Kilkerry. They had played reserve that day, so like for the likes of them lads there, it's some turnaround, you know.
And what was it? I know we've spoken about it before. What was it last year getting into the quarterfinals for the first time? Was it? I think you mentioned.
That was the first time that Gidor had got out of the group stages. All right, from the start of that new format, as in you know, group stages in the championship. So, like, you know, I suppose, I remember being in a meeting, and it was just as a management meeting or a meeting to become manager at the time, and I said to Imarchino Fari, and maybe Alan Boyd was in the room that night, and I said, look, I said, I'll take it for the year, I says, and I said, look, if we don't get out of the groups, I'll leave again, like, and I remember, you know, no, you got to do a 2-year contract, that's the way they were saying it to me, so, but that's how I felt if I couldn't turn it around in 1 year, I just wasn't the person to be there, you know. But we got a great year last year, and looking back in hindsight on it, it was a good year, and we wouldn't have been ready for Ulster last year because we just hadn't enough of, you know, with Cassidy only coming back late in the year. And again, I spoke about Dan McBride and Ginger there, and Kieran Gillespie been out with injury last year, and Orr McNeillis been away in America. You know, we were kind of at 6s and 7s for long parts of the year, so, you know, not having a steady panel as such, like, but you know, once we got the start this year, we knew after last year that we had a great foundation set, and this was going to be our year, and we set out that way. That, you know, again, we brought Michael Boylan as well, obviously, to try and bring up our standards of of training to a different level. Thankfully, everything worked out, you know.
Yeah, because to me, actually, the weekend ahead, that you felt that, you know, that you probably were just lacking that little bit of know-how, and you did turn to Michael.
Yeah, there was a wee bit of that. And again, as I said, that, you know, we haven't played football in 20, maybe for 20 for myself, maybe Martin Calls, maybe 15 years and all that same stuff, and John Bosco, like, you know, obviously. But we didn't, like, we're trying to do these training sessions, and I suppose that's one of the biggest parts of it, like, you know, trying to have, you know, a wee bit of different variety every night. You go down and looking at different scenarios. We kind of had a good idea of what we had done wrong last year, as in, you know, the way that you're having a hindsight view on it. But we knew, like, these are the things we had to fix going into the new year. So when I went to speak to Michael Boyle, I said I wanted A, B, C, and D fixed. Michael, can you do it? And obviously, like, Michael then said, yeah, no problem, I'll sort all that stuff. And, you know, and again, it wasn't a big fix. We always had the players.
Raw material. You had the raw material.
We had the raw material. I just heard, you know, there was something when Joe Kiernan spoke there last week when you were in Mickey's, and he says, the first thing you need is the players, he said. You know, and there's no truer words. Like, you know, if you don't have the players, the second thing then you need is the buy-in. And we had that from the start of the year. And, you know, that there's so much involved with a team now, you know, with training. They just don't train. They do the training Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday. They'll do gym work then on the Wednesday and the Friday, and, you know, everybody's ticking over the whole time. And again, we speak about the back room. There was three or four of us last year. There's 12 now, and, you know, you don't realise that you need this many people, but as the year goes on, you actually realise that you just needed every single person, you know.
Yeah, and obviously that's where the game has changed. And the other thing you have, and I suppose you developed this year as well, because I was speaking to Michael Boyle today for a feature in the Democrat tomorrow as well. You know, you played a lot of football this year without your county players, but it gave other fellas a chance to come in and stake a claim, and that's why you have the strength and depth now.
Yeah, and it's been brilliant for those lads. I've always said it, that the league was won by without the county players this year, and it was great for, you know, I don't want to be mentioning the whole panel or anything else, like, but the lads know themselves, like, they got so much game time this year, which was brilliant for us. There's about 29 players in the squad, and, you know, and in fairness, we had other younger lads that we'd have to bring in, a couple of minors, when we wanted to play, you know, game situations on a Saturday morning, and we wanted to, you know, you need two panels of players to, and, like, those lads were up at the same level as, you know, our first 15, which was great. And you can get, you know, people talk about challenge matches. We didn't need to go out looking for challenge matches. We were able to do our own in-house games, which was great, you know.
Hey.
Yeah, sorry, I lost you there.
Sorry, you're not out now until February, middle of February, I think, Valentine's weekend.
That's right, yeah.
Valentine's will have to be cancelled in Guidoor this year, next year.
Sorry?
Valentine's will have to be cancelled in Guidoor next
year. It'll have to be cancelled, that's right. Ah, look, you know, I suppose we'll give the bodies and the, you know, the bodies and the minds a wee chance to rest now over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, it's really important that they do that. And look, again, these lads are very professional. I know there's the partying and everything else, but, you know, they'll do the 2 or 3 days now, and then they'll all go back to normal, and everybody will be, you know, going and doing their own thing. They'll keep themselves taking over regardless if there's training or not, you know. Mm.
And I suppose you're already starting to work, or maybe from pretty soon, working on Cora Finn.
Yeah, we didn't yet, to be honest with you. But we will, like, and just listening to Donald there, we might have to take him into the back room. He seems to be getting a lot of information from down about
Galway. He has a lot of contacts in Galway.
We'll get Donald in to do a bit of a bit of stats for us maybe at the weekend, and he'll give us all his info. But, ach, no, look, it's something we have a bit of time to think about now. So, you know, there could be negatives in it because of the length of time that you've got to wait until, you know, next February. And, you know, you're obviously there's been momentum for the last 3 months with the team, and you know, will you be able to maintain that momentum over the Christmas months and, you know, and leading into February? That's just the only worry you'd have. But again, it's for both sides, so it's how we handle it now over the next number of weeks leading into this game against Corrigan.
And I suppose freedom of Guidoor has been granted. You can graze your sheep anywhere you want.
That's been pretty good now, in fairness, like, you know. But again, I don't like to talk about myself all the time, and I always talk about everybody else that's involved in it. And I just heard Oney McBride saying that as well, that, you know, it's about everybody. And again, we go back to the board and the log thing, like, you know, and Brendan Boyles, you know, was one of these fellas, the unsung hero, like, of all this. And Brendan done so much at underage, and there was a very good purple patch in the club with the years 96, 97 and 98, and we got quality players out of those 3 years, you know, with maybe the Niall Frills and Kieran Gillespie and Kian being the 96 lads, and then the Darrell Boyles, Kian, Gary McFadden, Eamon Collin, they were all the 97 lads, and then you had the 98 lads, which were Shane Ferry and Oran Ferry McFadden and all these lads. So we just got a lovely bunch coming through.
Mervyn, unfortunately, I have to leave you there. Look, have a good Christmas, and we'll talk to you in the new year. From me, Tom Cormack, that's the voice of Mervyn O'Donnell, from Jimmy Stafford, Donald Breslin, and old Oney McBride, Slán agus Bannacht.